Chapter 23, W for Words. Among God's creation, humans are unique in being able to communicate using complex language. With our words, we can encourage each other and spread the word of truth, but we can also hurt others and stumble into sin. As disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must learn to bridle our tongues so that we are better able to control what we say and discern when to say it. We need to allow the word of God to dwell in our hearts so that we do not sin against him with our lips, but rather use our words to bring him glory and praise. Good treasure. Jesus said that the words we say are a reflection of the state of our hearts, and that we shall be either justified or condemned by our words. Matthew 12, verse 37. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Verse 34. If our hearts harbor even a hint of jealousy, selfishness, pride, anger, bitterness, or resentment, we shall find this negativity creeping into our interactions with others and even into our prayers. And if we delight in the pleasures of this world and allow them to take hold of our hearts, we shall find that our tongues betray where our loyalties lie. If, on the other hand, our delight is in the law of the Lord, and we choose to meditate on it day and night, Psalms 1 verse 2, we shall not be able to stop our mouths from confessing God's goodness. Our hearts will overflow with words that are pleasing to God, and our speech will resound with the godly wisdom we have absorbed from the pages of Scripture. It follows, then, that if we want the right words to come out of our mouth, we must make sure the right words are going in. Although we do not literally put God's words into our mouths, it is nevertheless often described as something edible. In Revelation 10, verse 10, John was told to eat the scroll containing the word of God, and that it was sweet as honey in his mouth, but bitter in his stomach. Similarly, in Psalms 19, verse 10, we read that the word of God is sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. We know, too, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Physical food is a necessity if we are to stay alive, but spiritual food is much more lasting value. We ought therefore to ask ourselves a few probing questions. 1. Do I put as much effort and forethought into Bible reading and study as I do into preparing and eating physical meals? 2. Does my mind wander to thoughts about God's word as much as it does to thoughts about supper? 3. Have I spent as much time learning how to study the Bible as I have learning how to cook? 4. Do I spend more time reading and meditating on God's word or eating physical food? 5. As a family, do we place more importance on doing the readings together or eating together? 6. Am I more likely to meet up with other Christadelphians for a meal or to do Bible study? God has blessed us with an abundance and variety of food to enjoy and eat, and we can do so with thankfulness and need not feel guilty about doing so. But we must also recognize the importance of feasting on the Word of God, since His Word provides us with a kind of sustenance and satisfaction which far surpasses that of even the most delicious meal. It gives us wisdom, comfort, and purpose. It teaches us how to put away jealousy and pride, how to overcome anger and resentment, and how to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love. Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2. Though we may start out with storehouses of negativity and barns full of bitterness, as we store up more and more good treasures in our heart, we shall find that our thoughts and our words are transformed, and so too our lives. Let us therefore resolve to place our need for spiritual food above our need for physical food, and not neglect to read the scriptures each day or to meet together to study them. God's word is living and active, Hebrews 4, verse 12, with the power to change our lives, but it will not do so if our Bible remains in their case all week. An unbridled tongue. Even with the word of God firmly implanted in our hearts, we shall still have days when we struggle to keep our words under control. Since no human being can tame the tongue, James 3, verse 8, until we are free of our mortal bodies and our carnal minds, there will always be a battle inside us between the word of God and the pride of life. James rebukes his readers for their double-minded attitude. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing, verse 10. Are we the same? Do we enjoy gossip and unsavory jokes one moment, and talk passionately about the truth the next? Are we prone both to grumble and to abound with thanksgiving? Are we both boastful and humble, derisive and passionate? My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Verse 10. The scriptures are very clear about the way in which we ought to speak. Our speech must always be gracious, seasoned with salt. Colossians 4, verse 6. Whether speaking to those inside or outside the ecclesia, our tongue may be untamable, but this is no excuse for not trying our hardest to control what we say. Consider the following verses. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. James 1, verse 19. It can be easy to get angry or to speak rashly without thinking if we are having a bad day. Perhaps we are feeling tired, irritable, or unwell. Yet there is never an excuse for anger. Aware that we are having a bad day, we need to be particularly careful to keep our tongues and our tempers under control. For our rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 12, verse 18. The words we say in haste are immediately painful to the hearer, and often immediately regretted by the utterer, and can cause long-lasting damage to our relationships with others. But a word spoken wisely can heal rifts and soothe troubled minds. Sometimes we might need to walk away from a testing situation, or at least take a few deep breaths before speaking. And if we notice that the person we are talking to is having a hard time being patient or understanding, we ought not to provoke them and make the situation worse. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Chapter 17, verse 27. When communicating with others, we can learn to listen more, to be quick to hear. James 1, 19. Doing so ensures that the words we do speak are thoughtful, meaningful, and relevant. We can talk less, but say more. And we can learn that sometimes it is best to say nothing at all. See Ecclesiastes 3, verse 7. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Ephesians 5, verse 4. Crude joking is hard to avoid, since for many people it forms the basis of their sense of humor. In the workplace, on the television, and even sometimes from the mouths of brothers and sisters, we hear dirty jokes and comments loaded with innuendo. It is becoming so commonplace that we might not bat an eyelid when we hear such talk, and may not have an issue with making similar jokes ourselves, given the right company. Have we become desensitized to foul language and crude talk? Then we must seek to remove as much of its influence from our lives as possible. Be this reconsidering the films and TV programs we watch, or carefully choosing the friends we spend time with. Making no provision for the flesh, Romans 13, verse 14. Paul says that our words ought instead to be full of thanksgiving. This might seem like an unusual antidote to crude joking, but if our hearts and minds are full of gratitude for all the many blessings in this life, and for the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, which brings us eternal life, then how can we talk in such a base way? Why would we want to talk or think about all that is immoral, corrupt, and dishonorable, when we could be talking and thinking about all that is true, right, and honorable? Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Corrupt talking is any form of communication which tears another person down, rather than builds them up. It might make them feel sad, uncomfortable, alienated, or worthless. It might shake their faith or damage their relationship with God. Few of us ever intend to hurt people's feelings, but sometimes our words might unexpectedly have a negative effect on another person. If this is the case, then we ought straight away to seek to restore peace and to sort any misunderstandings. There are times, however, when we are not so innocent, and the motive behind our words is far more questionable. A searching examination of our motive can sometimes flag up some uncomfortable truths, hidden from all but ourselves and God. Are we really speaking to encourage a friend in need, or to share our passion for the truth, or are we seeking to impress others and to make ourselves feel important? In passing on information which a brother or sister has shared with us in confidence, are we really seeking their best interests or merely delighting in spreading gossip? Before we speak, we ought to take a step back and ask ourselves whether we are speaking out of humility or boastfulness, compassion or spite, joy or envy, and then we must learn to hold our tongue. The antithesis of talk which corrupts is talk which builds up and edifies. We tend to be quite good at encouraging our friends and dishing out compliments. But is this just done to make ourselves appear likable and kind? Is it just the socially acceptable thing to do? And are we merely building up each other's confidence and egos? Or are we strengthening each other's faith? The most encouraging conversations are those which focus on the impact of both God's words and His hand in our lives. These are conversations which we can have with all of our brothers and sisters and everyone we meet, not just our closest friends and family. In all of our interactions, we must seek to bring God into the equation and to speak from the heart about His very real presence in our lives. Talk about these things. Our words ought to comfort, strengthen, and inspire, whether we are talking face-to-face, on the phone, writing a letter, sending an email, or posting an Instagram. The things we say should be said in all gentleness and meekness, with great love. In Philippians, Paul sums up the kinds of things we should be thinking, and therefore talking about. Finally, brothers, whatsoever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is any worthy of praise, think and talk about these things. Philippians 4, verse 8. Questions and suggestions. 1. What treasure do you store up in your heart? How is that evident in the way you speak? 2. Do you value the gift of speech? Do you always use your tongue or your pen/keyboard to glorify God and to edify others, or do you sometimes use them to hurt others or to get your own way? 3. Do you sometimes make excuses for the harsh words you have spoken? Perhaps you blame hormones or lack of sleep. Perhaps you were having a bad day or were feeling particularly grumpy. Perhaps you even felt that the recipient was being so annoying or unreasonable that they deserved to get an earful. 4. Is there ever really an excuse? 5. Does crude joking form part of our conversation with certain people? Are such words edifying or helpful? Are you setting a good example? Is this the kind of company you should be keeping, Christadelphian or not?